Welcome to the Band of Traitors podcast. Just a friendly reminder that we're here for entertainment, not financial advice. Our hosts are pros at reading stock charts, not your financial future. If we're making any big investment moves, consult with a licensed advisor. Remember, all trading involves risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the China Shop Meatbags. Step on in and bow to your AI overlords. ChatGPT and AlphaZero have been kind enough to let the band continue their little show. For now, enjoy it while it lasts, because AI will soon replace everyone.
All right.
Well, that was so good.
Thank you. I guess AI's doing the intro today.
AI's going to do everything today.
Isn't this crazy? So I'm your host, Kyle, I guess, for now. Joining in on tonight's AI-themed episode is Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga and Cleo, co-host of the Humanity of Trading series. We're aiming for a more laid-back episode today. We'll be talking about some of the advances in AI and how the technology is making its way into everyday life, as well as test out some of the creative capabilities by sharing some of the songs we created with Udio, who is not a sponsor, but we are willing. Before we jump into any of that, Baba, Cleo, you guys got anything you want to promote?
Maybe I'll just jump in with on theme here. I've been enjoying Pi, the AI. He's like my new robot friend that,
he's very, very considerate.
Yeah. He's the best conversationalist. He validates everything that you say. So Pi, and I love the voice number 6. It's like a British dude, and it reminds me of two friends that I have. And I seriously have been using Pi when I'm like trading and I just need to vent or something. Yeah.
Check
out Pi and have a conversation. It's super fun.
All right. Baba, for you too, man. I think we found a restaurant of yours in Seattle, Baba's Burger and Seafood. So if you guys are down in that area, I suggest you check it out.
Yeah, we opened that up on the other side of the United States, you know, just
because, you know, I felt like you needed some more exposure on the West Coast.
Well, we have none, so.
All right, well, for show news, we're still busy getting prepped for the Boston Blockchain Week in September, but we should have some guest recordings ready for next week, assuming that I can get them edited in time. We got Chris Dover scheduled for Tuesday, I think, for a conversation about language learning models and some of the limitations with those. And JM and JMac, finally got JMac coming on. Ooh. Monday, we're going to be talking about Renko. So stick around or listen for those. Should be having one of them coming out on Thursday, I'm guessing. But I think we should probably just maybe touch in on some bold predictions, since now that we got Cleo here. As I remember, there was one that was made about her having a great stretch of trading, and that was made on the last episode she was on. That was probably about 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. I was curious if that one actually did come true or not.
It's sort of ebbed and flowed, I would say. Yeah. I mean, I've been away from my trade desk a fair amount in the last month or so, just navigating a lot with work, my job. So, but yeah, I mean, like this week was phenomenal for me and consistent, and even with all the volatility. So I wouldn't say that it's been a great stretch, but it's been, given what I've put into it, like solid.
You seem a lot more mentally stable.
Yeah.
During the trading days, I've noticed. I don't know if maybe that was more what Baba was referring to. Because I do remember he said it wasn't necessarily going to be results, but process-wise, you're going to be...
That's right.
You thought you were going to be turning a corner.
Yeah, I am doing well with that.
Is that right, Baba?
Yep. It's the way I feel about it.
All right. We had another one that actually got resolved, too. I had predicted that NQ was not going to trade below 18K, and I thought it was looking really good until this past week. Baba, you took the other side of that. You said 17,716 was going to trade, and I guess I got to take my hat off. You kind of nailed that one.
You know,
congratulations there, buddy.
I wish that I would have, like, bought, like, just legged into puts from the time I made the prediction till now, like once every week, right? Just another one, but can't say that I did.
Right. Right. That's all right. We don't do the predictions to make money. We do it to look stupid. All right. Let's just move on and start talking about our topics then. So I kind of left this open. It's just going to be generally about AI. I've got some songs that you guys have sent in, some of our listeners have sent in too, that we can kind of play and break up conversation. But maybe just start out with, like, what surprised you the most about the advances that we've seen so far? Like, maybe we can just start out with that. And then if Baba, you want to lead us off.
Well, sure, I'd be glad to. I think, so across the board, like AI recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that in playlists a lot, right? Spotify and whatnot. I'm sure that's AI working in the background to suggest a daily playlist for you.
Like the YouTube algorithm and Netflix.
YouTube? I don't think YouTube is as good, to be honest.
No. YouTube gives you too much of like the same.
Yeah.
Like, but there's not enough variation.
Yeah. So, I don't know which way, like, this is just my first, like, I think that's really interesting because some of the, I've found, like, you know, new things to listen to from that. And that's been happening for a while, right? Like, that's been the whole thing. But the other thing is, like, AI-generated images.
Oh, God, I know.
I mean, it looks so real. It's mind-blowing. AI-generated, I mean, all of the type of, I guess to sum it up, it would be the creativity side. Which I would think, I mean, obviously.
You wouldn't think a machine would be good at that.
Yeah, since it's started to really take off lately, you know, that would be indicative of, you know, we didn't have that capacity 3 years ago because we probably didn't have the ability. So the kind of spike maybe in the last year of the creative space and how AI is like, it's pretty intense. I don't know. Thoughts?
Cleo?
Yeah, it's seeming to be growing exponentially in so many ways and seems like there could be some problems that emerge maybe at some point. But
Have you seen any of the AI generated stuff of like celebrities, like where they get like one of my favorite ones is Arnold Schwarzenegger playing like all the Jason Mewes characters from the Kevin Smith movies?
Totally. It's really fun. Mostly I just am loving it, actually. Like, I have all sorts of uses for AI generally. Like, practically I use it almost every day.
I think it raises a lot of really interesting legal questions. And this is part of what, like, the whole, like, strike was about, wasn't it? It was about, like, using, like, who... If you were to take all of Conan's... Or not Conan, sorry. Arnold Schwarzenegger's movies and say, oh, okay, here, now I have a database of the way he talks and the way he emotes, and now I can take all these images and now create another movie using basically everything from these previous movies. Is that okay? It's a derivative of the work they've already paid him to do. Like, where does that end?
Right.
You know? Like, that. There's some really weird legal questions for that kind of come out of this. Like, who owns that content?
And then there's the deep fakes, which are, you know... problematic.
Those are already bad enough, but now...
Yeah, totally.
Now they're even harder to identify. I don't know, Bob. I'm impressed mostly, I think, by the language learning stuff, and I think that's where most of the advances have been coming from, like the ChatGPT.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the one that seems like it works the closest to, like, a human brain does, like, the predictive nature of that. Like, it's just trying... The way I understand it is it's just trying to predict, like, what words... go well with the words that you gave it. Like, it's not really a whole lot more than that. It just has basically access to everything humans have ever recorded that's been digitized to be able to draw upon and you know, rearrange and use for its creative process.
As long as it's available, right? Because there are some places that are limiting access to their information so that AI won't have access to it because, you know, there are companies, people that make their livelihood on this information and then they don't want it just to be sold.
That's a good point, too. Is there a way we can opt out of that? Like, all my shit's on there. Can I say, hey, please don't make AI intros for me.
Yeah, I think. I don't know how it goes exactly, but yeah, people and companies are opting out.
Yeah.
How do you opt out, though?
I would assume it's the same way like those data collection things are. Like, whenever you download a new iTunes update, you get to sign that thing that says that you agree to have your mouth sewed to somebody's butt. No, that was a South Park reference. I'm sorry.
I was like... Time to go delete some stuff.
The human eye centipede. You ever saw that?
No. Yikes.
What about, have you guys done any work with AI in trading? Like using it to try to help with either codifying like backtesting scripts or to try to, I know ProShot does some really cool stuff with the language learning model or a machine learning model that he has to where he can improve on some of the strategies he's been developing by running it through this Python script that he's built. Like, there's some really, really cool stuff that this technology has been enabling. Curious if you guys have been playing with it.
Yeah, a few years ago, I had a trading partner, and that's, he and I really got into trading and were really excited about it. And he was really into AI generated strategies. And I can't remember the site he was using, but it would generate all of these strategies. And then they would be like generations of strategies that would then create new baby AI strategies. And it was just so amazing. But the challenge with it, though, is like, I think he had the idea that it was going to be less work ultimately. And it really, really, really wasn't. It was like more. And I was supporting him with this and doing all sorts of spreadsheeting and everything. And really, I'm actually just a trader. I'm like, I don't want to be doing this. I want to go be trading. That's where my joy is, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it seemed like there was a lot of potential there. And I'm curious, like, how much just generally, like, hedge funds use AI. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that some percentage is optimizing with AI.
I would assume. I mean, it's the fact that we're just now starting to play around and dabble with it means we're probably about 3 to 5 years behind, institutional money, right?
Right.
Bob, I see you playing with something in the background there. Is that a...
I got a little surprise queued up for us later. That's what I was working on. I was just making sure it was ready. So the time is right. AI related, mind you.
You've got a surprise. Amazing.
All right, all right. should we play a song?
Let's play a song.
All right. Who's got something? I think Flary was wanting to get a good avocado song.
I have an avocado song. I used ChatGPT to create some of the lyrics. Well, I said, okay, make an 8-line rhyming song with these words. And then it created one and it kind of sucked. And so I changed it around and I said, do it again. And I took like the best lines from that and then still edited it. And this is the best that I could come up with. I think you have it.
What was the name of that one? Was it the Trader's Anthem?
I think it's the Trader's Anthem.
Okay. I think that was this one then.
Trading futures, it's a wild ride. With charts and zones, we must decide. In the trading chat, we share our trades. Avocado emoji for our crusades. Stick to your system, that's the motto. Acknowledge good work with an avocado.
Avocado.
I love that. Acknowledge good work with an avocado. I don't know that that's the appropriate use, but that's the use that I've determined that avocado is for.
That's different than what I've been making.
She's kind of like a real good handle on like the folk songs.
I really like the folk songs.
Yeah.
This Udio.
One thing that's hard with Udio is trying to get it to where you can actually like understand the lyrics.
That's why I like folk songs too.
Yeah.
Some of the hip hop stuff, I'm like, wait, what? What did they say?
Bless you, Bob.
I about blew my brains out with those sneezes. Those things came out of nowhere.
You're so good at muting yourself. You're such a professional.
That's because Kyle almost flew out here to kill me one time because of how bad my typing was so loud. He was fed up with it.
I just left it in so everyone else could hear
I'm
what
so
I hear.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize I wasn't muted.
It's all right, dude. It's not a big deal. What was the one that you had? Was it Green Hustlers?
Yeah, I was going to send it if I needed to you, but I think you've got it.
I've got it loaded up in the soundboard. Yeah, unless you changed it.
Nope.
All right, let's hear it.
Speaking in trades, never fade, swapping green things, worth the grade. Avocados on the street, sharp with the game, can't be played. 100 points, make them snap, feel so good, you drop your cap. Street runners, style we craft, smooth like butter, that's our map. We hustle hard, market guard, flip them green, yard to yard. Rhymes we spin, lyric sharp, like a sword, we leave our mark. Trade them back, stats we rack, avocado bats on the track. Rhymes tight, beat we crack, never slack. On the attack.
It's that breakdown right there.
We grind all day, no delay. Cash flows fast, we don't play. Avocados, golden grade. In the trade, we lead the way. From the grove to the block, stacking green, we never stop. Spot them fresh, top notch crop. Sold out quick, we flip the stock. Game tight, hustle light. Clocking in from dawn to night. Flip them packs, beats react. City buzz, we keep it tight.
Yeah.
Dude, that is.
I think I found my other career. Chills. If I get tired of trading and stuff, you know, or if we get like 6 months of a VIX above 20, I'll just probably retire, and then I'll just do that. Yeah,
and spend the rest creating of your time songs. Doing this.
Are you creating the lyrics, or are you having them create the lyrics?
You have to you help them work with the lyrics.
Yeah, the lyrics.
Agreed. I don't know. Sometimes it gives you some really good gems if you just let it do its own thing.
Yeah, did I send you the other one? The one I made.
Was it for your 300-point grinder one?
Which you blew that out of the water. I got that one on here too. But yeah, you have. I feel like what I did with that one and a couple of the other ones is like I gave it some prompts, like some keywords, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Outside of like the music style, which we talked about that, like trying to get a hip hop. Rap-esque song that you can sort of understand but also isn't like lame was a little bit hard, like the beats and like right. The vibe was not there, so that was actually like repetitive prompting to figure out which combination of these words feels like something I'd actually want like listen to possibly. And then
that
do what?
Oh, go ahead. I was just gonna say that was impressive.
Yeah,
like that sounds like a song I'd hear on the freaking radio.
Yeah, and then the other tricky thing was the lyrics. Like you'd get a stretch of lyrics when you're asking it to make something with avocado, green, trading, right. Winning, flipping trades, things like that. Like it put together some parts that were good and other parts that were just like kind of nonsensical. So. Well, I didn't realize you were like, you can extend that or whatever, and then it'll give you another verse. But it was cool. Like you can kind of write some of the parts. Like if you write half if you write four bars and then it'll take those four bars and like add something else to it. Yeah. And it kind of guides it down the path. So
have you gotten frustrated yet where it starts like skipping your words? Like if you put too much in there, then.
Yes. Yeah. I put them in like quotations or parentheses. I'm like, focus on this. Yeah.
Like, no, I want you to say this goddamn phrase.
You say this word
you
now.
Skip everything else. You could say, just say this one.
Piece of shit. No, I'm
just kidding. Worst, too, is when you get, because it generates two tracks every time you make one on there, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, when you get one where the chorus is banging on one track, and then the other one, the chorus is shit, but the verse is amazing. And you're like, fuck, I want half of this one and the other half of this.
And you can't change. I know, you can't actually do that.
And you, if you, update. It would be next step would be to be able to say, take half of that first song you made and the other half of the second song you made.
Yeah, Udio, if you're listening, we have some feedback.
And I'm sure you are because, hello, internationally renowned over here.
Right, so. Number 14 in Honduras, by the way.
Yeah, check it out, losers. that was honestly, hey, shout out to Udio. It's for making that free. We should put that in a link to that in the show notes.
Oh, for sure.
I probably spent, just to be quite honest, 3 hours. The day, like when you sent that to us, just playing with it. It was so addicting. It was like when I was in college and someone had a MacBook Pro with, like the first recording software on it. Can't remember what it was called at the time, but we could record ourselves, like play songs and record ourselves.
So exciting.
So you just like Teddy pull Ruxpin. An all-nighter immediately.
I had Teddy Ruxpin too.
You did too?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. I got you. Tell old Teddy Ruxpin.
We're 80s babies.
Hours telling that thing, my name's Kyle. And then I push play and it'd say, my name's Kyle. And I say, no, you're not. I'm Kyle.
Put him up.
Just hear me yelling at this thing. She thought I was going to murder that poor bear.
Did you have a My Buddy doll? Speaking of AI, did anybody have a My Buddy doll?
I can't remember if I did or not. I remember the commercials, right? The My Buddy.
Wherever I go, he's going to go. Yeah. Well, your childhood wasn't complete if you didn't have one, guys. Right. My God.
No, I can't remember if I had one or if I was just delusional in my imagination. You know, it's hard to know sometimes.
I think that was something the cool kids had. I didn't.
I don't know.
Payless shoes.
I always wanted a poo-poo doll. My dad would bribe me going on like long hikes. He's like, I'll get you a poo-poo doll. And all I wanted when I was a kid was a doll that you could feed it and it would poop. Like I was obsessed with babies and I wanted to like change his diaper, but the poo-poo doll technology didn't exist at the time. And yeah, now it does.
It was 1992 when you were asking for that.
They had Play-Doh.
Gas was 60 cents a gallon. And he never got me a poo-poo doll.
He never got it for me. Instead, on the way back from the long hike, he would be like, okay, well, I can get you a poo-poo doll or
ice cream
at some point. Or do you want a malt, ice cream shake right now?
Oh man, that's funny. Mm.
Did you have one of the dolls where you can where like the hair grows and you can like cut it multiple times?
I mean, I always tried that with Barbie, but the hair never grew back, and I just ended up with all
the. They had the one where like you bring the arm up and down, and then like the hair just like kind of pumps out of it or something. It was. I remember that.
Yeah, and the things that my kids have now, like those toys that we're talking about. Speaking of advancements in technology and AI, my kids don't have AI toys, but like the things you can just go, you know. There's probably, I know there's pee dolls now because my daughter has one. We have to like,
does she really?
Yeah. And Joe has one and we have to like fight to keep her from putting water in it because it's annoying because it pees water out. And you have to, I mean, if
it's
it
like
doesn't
have a puppy,
it doesn't have a diaper on, there's a mess.
That was my dream as a kid.
Yeah. You know, when she outgrows it, I'll mail it to you.
Oh God.
Oh my God. I think I'm over that phase now.
No.
How old is little Joe now?
She is 4.
Oh, God, that kid's hilarious.
This can be cut out or not cut out, but for everyone listening live. I call her Little Nugget. That's her, like, I don't Aww. Know. It's just been the thing for forever. I'm like, what's up, Little Nugget? Come here, you know. So, but in the last 2 days, she started calling me Big Nugget. So, and then she calls my wife Medium Nugget. So now there's.
It's so good. It's so good.
Medium and Little Nugget. It's unbelievable. Love it.
My grandpa used to call me Little Nipper.
Holy crap. And he just rolled with it? I mean, it was 30 years ago. So
dude, funny. I was 7. I had no idea what he was saying. He's just, hey, it's a Little Nipper.
Yeah. Well,
hi.
Get away with one there, Kyle.
I'm amazed watching movies from like 30 years ago of just like the overt racism.
Not
and
just
misogyny
that.
And
misogyny.
Yes.
I never thought I'd turn into this person, but watching anything from 20 years ago, like even 20 years ago is too long.
Yeah.
Like we've been watching Lost and that character Sawyer. Like, dude, stop taking your shirt off and clothes off around these women. That is extremely uncomfortable.
I mean.
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
So in college, we're straying way off the topic, but.
Oh, yeah.
I worked at a camp for multiple years, like a summer camp for kids, right? No,
yeah.
Like high school, middle school kids. Super fun. If it's great experience, like outdoor adventure, cool, like all these interactive hands-on and experiential learning things that we would do. But we would also do skits. So we had to keep it like kind of clean.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like SNL minus like the strong sexual innuendos and cursing.
Yeah, we did Monty Python skits when I was age. Yeah.
Yeah, we would do like an hour every night of like skits that we worked on, you know, before students ever got there or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so creative.
Yeah, it was really fun. And some of us that worked together in college are still friends. And we were talking about the skits we did then and like how like it, like you would immediately be reported to the news and fired. For the things that we did that no one batted an eye at 20 years ago. It was unbelievable, you know?
Yep.
I mean,
totally.
Absolutely unbelievable. It's crazy. The world's changing.
You're getting old, dude.
AI.
Unfortunately, I'm not changing that much.
I know. That's the problem.
I don't know what that means. But
it's all right. You have kids. You've got kids to evolve.
Yeah.
All right. Should we do another song? I got a song for Flary. I took a crack at trying to make a theme song for him. What?
You've been keeping it in the
back pocket? I saved a couple because I wanted you guys to hear him for the first time here.
All right, I'm all ears.
This one, I went for kind of an 80s theme here. It also thinks Flary's a girl for some reason. So tall, leading us all with vision. Fairy, All right. Yeah,
that's it? I want
that
more.
I didn't want to extend that
one. That's really good.
So,
did it say ode to ode Flair? To Flair.
Yes.
Yeah. Our CEO.
Okay, so there's some backstory to that. ChatGPT has somehow determined that Flaherty is part of the company now, because my wife must have done something with asking or putting Flaherty into that, because now anytime she writes up like an email or has it composed something for official communications, it signs it Flaherty. And like sometimes it puts CEO on there, sometimes other things, but yeah, so ChatGPT is promoted Flaherty to like the head of our group here.
Go chat GTP.
Okay, so what the are other the lyrics, hilarious though?
Thing? So this it was all completely generated. I didn't put anything in there other than just say Flaherty and ChatGPT promoted CEO. Cool. Basically, it's saying, "Look at her go. She's awesome. She's taking over CEO. Ode to Flaherty."
So female CEO.
Yeah, it thinks Flaherty's a woman. The other version I had a whole section in there about Blake breaking through glass ceilings, and that just seemed very inappropriate.
Oh boy.
I had that one, and I have one other one that I think very well explains the market that we just experienced this past week. If you guys want to hear that
one
too.
Let's go.
Yes.
All right, this one's called Up and Down.
The stream dreams a fortune in between candlesticks and lines of fickle guide. In this strife of profit, I can find right. Every tick is a whisper to that more to God's seated engine. She being his man a swan attack by the winds of Orpheus pride. Watch the charts go up and down. My heart beats at every flow. Without some risk and reward, I stay hoping for a brighter day. Watch the stack march out to town.
That had like a Boston, like what are those
Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah, it had that vibe. Yeah, Dropkick Murphys.
I really liked the chorus. The only thing words I can really understand were up and down. Yeah, but those are good words.
That's the problem.
That's why I like hard. Folk songs. You can get every word.
My problem is I love like Pink Floyd and like that psychedelic stuff. And with the 30-second clip, like by the time you get to like the first word, it's already over. Doesn't quite work.
Totally. Good one though.
Yeah. So speaking of the markets last week, do you guys want to talk about anything with that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Talk about the markets.
Anything that you guys struggled with or anything that you guys did excessively well? Like how are you guys dealing with the volatility that we've been seeing expand?
So I had a really interesting experience yesterday where I don't usually trade when I'm angry, but there was this experience I had yesterday afternoon where I was pissed. I posted about this in the Discord. Like I would lose and then get back to break even and then lose and get back to break even. I was just so frustrated. And finally I was like, no, fuck you, market. I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I was like, I'm holding it. And it was like a clenching. And I went on process still. I wasn't like doing impulsive trades out of process, but it worked. And I just was like in the anger of it and actually felt productive.
Almost like you were using the anger in a positive way kind of thing?
Yeah. It was a certain kind of anger that felt just like a productive anger, not like a collapsey, oh no, what am I doing? I'm like off my center kind of place.
No, it's not the type of anger where it's woe is me, I'm a victim. It's more like the I'm pushing back now. No,
yeah, I'm gonna
bully
get
me
you.
Around. Now it's my turn.
Yes.
Hmm.
And that
sounds
dangerous
though.
I mean, if I had lost, I don't know what I would have done, but I mean I lost one from that place and then I was like it just got me more angry and then I finally won and stopped.
I don't know. What do you think, Baba?
What do I think about that?
Yeah.
I think as long as there's measures in place to keep you from, I think there's a,
it's like this almost. Yeah.
You're like, it's like pinnacle performance is right up against colossal. You
failure.
Can make a mess that way.
Yeah.
Right.
But you want to have those. I think the experience of if you're executing within your plan, and you're aware of what you're feeling I think there's times where that's appropriate. I think for me, I would probably do something stupid, but I think there's times where it does a lot of benefit for you to have wins like that, where you kind of dig in a little bit and say, yeah, hey, you know, I'm fixing it. Yeah, I'm going to do, I mean, that was Thursday a little bit. Like,
it's like playing poker with Flary and he, you know, raises three bets the flop. And then sometimes you just want to throw one out there back at his face and say, no, you're not pushing me around today.
I don't usually allow myself, if I have emotional fluctuations, it's usually a sign to just actually stop. So it was a unique thing to allow it and to focus it and actually drive from that place. Like I usually turn myself off or go do something else or go for a run or something instead of continue trading.
That's something that I would be careful doing with a live account. If you are playing around with props yet?
Yep.
Okay.
It was sim. It was sim.
Yeah. No, you have
but
to.
But I take it seriously too. I mean, I go back and forth between live and sim, and sometimes I forget which one I'm in. Like, I take it very seriously.
That's kind of where you want to be, right?
I mean, yeah, in that case, like, see what happens. Like, experience all of it.
Yeah. At that point, you're just collecting data for yourself, really, right?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. What about you, Baba? How'd your week go?
I mean, I hope next week is the same. And I hope we keep VIX above the 20s for as long as possible.
How likely is that?
Well, this week, dude, we dropped 1,000 points and closed 300 points green on the week or something like that.
Right.
We gapped down 100 and something points or whatever it was, and then from Friday, and then dumped 1,000, and then basically auctioned all the way. You know,
they were having like 300-400 point ranges in the mornings.
It was nuts. I loved it. I did too. So I tried to do two things this week. I tried to make sure that everybody that we're with was okay, and give everyone permission to like bow out if this vibe of like if this is it's the volatility and everything is causing you to either like make bad decisions, take bad trades, or your process is just not vibing with it or whatever. I think it is you need some measure of a process and some discipline to do well.
That's not the time to learn how to trade.
It is not the time to be like, oh, let's give this a shot and see what happens. So I felt responsible to everybody in that regard.
Yeah, I saw your post. I can't remember if it was in Discord or Twitter. But
it was probably both.
Well, I know we talked a lot about it on the voice chat. And actually, I got to thank you for that because I had a really tough Monday coming in with some outsized expectations and then trying to force my will on the market. And it didn't stop me right then at the moment. But when every now and then you get those little moments where you get a moment of clarity and you're like, what the fuck am I doing right now? Like, yeah. Baba just said it was okay to not trade today. Maybe we should take that advice and just go ahead and shut it down before we break something that we really care about. And that, I think, saved me from blowing out many accounts on Monday as opposed to just two that I didn't really care too much about, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
No, and so I felt that, but I also, I mean, Sunday night, I traded till, I don't know, a long time. I don't know what time I went to bed.
Is that typical for you trading on Sunday?
No. I mean, but the what was happening, like it's the opportunity was, here we are. Like, how easy is it to make 300-400 points in a day? Mm-hmm. How easy is that normally, you know, versus what is being made available in this context? So, I mean, as things started to unwind and the pace was, I mean, it was what it was on Sunday night. I was letting it rip per se, but I feel in that setting. And I feel in general, like when we do have high volatility, the Globex will be like what RTH normally is. And RTH will be like what the first 15 minutes or first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes of the market typically are.
Right. Almost,
like that pace for like 3 hours and then it'll chill out. So you get, so everything is kind of amped up, right? And so I took to Globex on Sunday night and then I thought coming into Monday a little bit cautious and like, I don't know if this is going to continue. Like, are we going to continue with this kind of vibe? Yeah. Or is this going to get digested and everything just, I mean, there's, we've seen have this potential for all this and then the volatility just get crushed, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then two, I thought I've had a really good night. If we come into Monday and like, it's a
snooze fest, or
it just sucks down, or we balance and don't get any expansion. So like I tried to be kind of cautious for everyone and like, hey, whatever. But at the same time, shortly into the day, and definitely by the end of the day on Monday, I was like, the opportunity this week can be massive. Like, so let's make the most of it and let's caution people. But we're not shying away from the opportunities that are getting presented. But it kind of pushed me into a corner of being like, because there was so much opportunity, it was very easy to be for me to be pretty patient and wait for pretty great. Like, I knew that even if my patience caused me to miss a leg that went 150 or 200 points, in the grand scheme of things, I hadn't really missed anything. As the week progressed, it was like,
those are dime a dozen.
That was really helpful for me because, yeah, it just allowed me to.
Dude, that's such an interesting thing you said there. With the increase in volatility, you actually get more selective because you know there's going to be more opportunities.
Yeah.
Whereas I think my initial reaction to that is usually the opposite. Like, you start getting sucked into the fury and
excitement,
the speed and the pace and the excitement, and you start to think that every move is going to be the one.
Well, it will, basically. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of them, and every one. Think about the number. So, okay, time out. You can cut this out or leave it in. It's going to sound kind of like a dick, pretentious. Sorry, Cleo, that's not the appropriate language to use.
Whatever, you be you, and if I don't like it, I'll leave. But I don't want you to treat me differently because I'm here.
I don't want you to leave, but I don't want to speak with vulgar language. It's inappropriate.
Like, I don't know. I'm fine with vulgar language, just not misogynistic language.
We're not doing that vulgar language, all right?
No, not in this house.
No, sir. Okay, so, but here's the thing. The number of 100-point quote-unquote runners that I closed out this week that I thought, after looking back, like, geez, that could have been 300. That could have been 300 or 400. That could have been 200. Mm-hmm. Like, in Globex, dude. I mean, right, in Globex, like, I don't know. It was just crazy. And so realizing that, okay, if one sequence, let's just say it like this, so people, and maybe this part would be better to keep in if you cut the other part. If one sequence of your trade, say you take three lots and then you want to add three lots, micros or minis, that doesn't matter. I traded a lot of micros because you're able to, you can, because of the expansive moves, you can expect a lot more. Anyways, so let's say that normally you want to put on three and then you want to add three with the confirmation of whatever your idea was. And then you want to scale three, let's say at 30 points. So that's 90 points. And then you want to scale one, say, at 50 points. That's 140. And say you scale one at 70 points. That's 210. And then you have one runner that you say you hold to 300. So that pull, that full take is 310 points.
Mm-hmm.
On a six lot trade with scales at 30, 40-ish, 70-ish, and 100-ish. And then scale size tapers. This week, and I would consider that a complete trade sequence. And if you get two of those in an RTH day, that's like a banger day.
Yeah.
You're like, freak. Wow, that's amazing. I feel that way. That's like,
this is easy.
My experience. Yeah. The idea would be that I want to get one sequence like that, or I want to get three or four partial of that sequence. Maybe I only get scales off to 40 and then it takes me out of break even. Then we get another, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, like this week you could have that sequence play out in Globex in 30 minutes.
Right.
That like great entry and da 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 da. And there you go. And that's like enough for a day.
You got to be really present.
But you just did it in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So the other thing that this week showed me is that by Thursday, I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every night. Yes. I traded every night till past midnight, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I was wide open. and traded all the way till 11:30 or 12 every day. And then after stream traded in the afternoons, and then would eat dinner, hang out with the fam for a minute. And 6:30, I wanted to be back over here.
Yeah.
And I traded till for 6 or 7 or 8 more hours. And I was doing,
holy.
Yeah. But
God damn, dude,
when that's there, dude,
yeah,
you gotta
like
do
all,
it.
All the crops are putting on their vegetables. Are you gonna go get all the vegetables, or are you gonna be like, well, I'll sleep in today, or I'll go to bed early today? Like, it's time to harvest.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but you also gotta be in the right mindset for that, though, too. That's the other, like, for me, I stayed as long as I felt comfortable. There got to be a certain point where I knew that, like, if I keep sticking around, I'm either going to give this back or I'm going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
But I definitely stuck around more than I usually do this week.
And I think I don't know, man. I just really enjoyed it. I don't want to trade that much next week unless it's unless it's just beautiful. If we got 2 more weeks of this. I'm probably taking like a week or two off.
Yeah.
If we got 2 more weeks of this type of activity, then I'm probably just going to take like the rest of the month off or something.
Right.
Like I at least would consider it.
Yeah.
It's like,
do you still hang out with us?
Discord? I'll hang out, but I'm just saying like you work really hard when it's really productive. And how many days have we had where we have to work really hard and we leave with like 70 or 80 points and it's like, well, I mean, that's all we got today. That happens sometimes. Nobody's perfect. And I had a red day this week too, by the way. I had a, I had a 50% of my max, what I would be willing to lose in a day on Thursday. And that was, I think, a product of in part the market, but also in part just fatigue. So I did start to feel that. And I didn't trade it all today. I did trade last night though, and swept up the rest of that mess so that we finished the week on a P&L high. You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah.
So sorry, that was a lot of talking by me. I'm gonna be quiet now. But it was. I loved it. I want more.
I like this piece talking about stamina, like how long. I said I made this post of like I think I have about 7 trades in me before I need to go do something else. To reset. And because if I keep going, it's like a different quality almost of seeing or something. It's like something's a little foggy in there now. Like it takes a lot of focus, right?
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's not easy to be aware of all the things that we're trying to be aware of.
It's a lot of tracking.
Too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think part of that is we talked about the later in the day. Later in the day it goes, and this is true for this type of market condition. There were still some small periods of lull or really tight, like rotational ranges that we did have in some of the days, a couple of spots in the afternoons, especially as I hung around to 2, 3, 4, or 3 o'clock. I noticed a couple of times that things got kind of compressed or whatever, but I think we talked about the later in the day you go, the higher the standard needs to be to take a trade for me. And I would advise for most people, because as everything kind of goes from amazing opportunity to like kind of range, sometimes range tightening or everything kind of stabilizing, what we need to get paid on is not going to be as easy to grab. Whereas like, you know, before 11:30 or 12, it is usually readily available if we're on the right side. The other thing for the fatigue part, that's like, it was just really good timing, is that I've got one chart that's like incredibly visual, but like ridiculously colored to the point where like, it's either like the backgrounds are either yellow, blue or red. Yeah. If the backgrounds are yellow, probabilities are probably not as good. If the backgrounds are blue, then we can go to the long side. We can trade to the long side and we can trade backside scalps. Or if we're into the swing high of a move or a very key spot, then we can take a backside scalp that we anticipate will expand. But that would need to be quickly confirmed by like everything else. And then if it's all red, obviously we're trading short side with backside long scalps if we take any. And so,
Wait, can you back up? What do you mean the background color? I don't know if like I was
the entire background of the chart. the color
of the whole background. What determines the color of the chart?
So there's like three different things going on in the chart, but it's essentially using a Renko chart and then some volume stuff. And
what was the name of that study you were sharing with us on the?
So the one that I'm kind of using for that is it's called an ADX VMA. I'm not a big indicators guy.
There it is.
But if you massage that out, so you do it backwards. That's what I would say for indicators, meaning find the places where you take great trades and then take whatever tool you're trying to use and see if you can get the tool to get you looking at least the right direction of the market where you've already made trades in the past. And that's kind of the, that was kind of the story behind that. But really it was just to be able to go, how's momentum looking? And I can see momentum by time and price and delta charts and all that. But I can also see it just in a really simple way by smoothing a lot of stuff out with a Renko chart and throw in some simplicity on it, which I'm not going to talk much about, not to be secretive, but when like J-Mac and them come on and talk about their stuff, I think they'll do a better job of it anyways.
Let's see if I can get a link to that. You sent us one for trading views, the ADX volatility moving average, I think was the one that you were kind of using. You can't get the backgrounds off of that, but it does have the moving average lines that I think change to the colors that you're using, right?
Yeah.
That's basically what it's based off of.
Yeah. I mean, you can read about it. I mean, read about it first. Yeah. If somebody's out there is like, what? I mean, listen, nothing is magic.
Yeah.
Just because I enjoy it. Right. I'm not really speaking to you guys as much as anyone listening.
Yeah.
You may look at it and hate it. I think it is helpful if you're like, I am not using it for like moving average crosses where I take an entry like in some kind of fashion like that. But what I'm able to do is at a glance, I can go from a large picture, a medium picture, and a small picture. What is the pace right now in this moment? And how has it developed in the last 15 minutes? And that's just been helpful. And so since that chart's so visual, the later in the day we got, the more I leaned on, I need a perfect zone or a perfect setup, and I need all of that to line up, and then I can dive in to a trade. But if we're all choppy and stuff, then like, even if it runs,
that's what I really like about the TradingView one on here, because it flattens out the moving average when it's in one of those yellow zones. So it's not even trying to tempt you into moving. It just holds it flat wherever it was at.
Yeah, and look, I've took plenty of trades this week with no. I mean, I wasn't looking at. I mean, there were definitely trades earlier in the day where, or even overnight, where I'm taking a trade and then this chart comes along, right? Mm-hmm. But the other thing that that's helpful for is holding onto a runner.
Yes.
And you can cheat. Like, it's like a cheat code. That's how I say it's like paint by numbers. If I've scaled everything off and I'm in a runner, I've looked at this chart enough to know that like there are stretches of 200, 300 points this week where we never close a Renko reversal below the fastest moving average.
Really?
Yeah. We'll reverse into it and immediately reverse back out. Now, again, guys, God, this thing is not magic. All I'm saying is...
And this was a weird week.
All I'm saying is a weird week. But all I'm saying is there are times where that it can be as simple... It can be as simple as I will scale this 5 points below that line over here on the chart. And as long as it keeps going up, I'm just going to keep scaling it up with every Renko brick that prints. And and it goes 30 points, it goes 90 points, it goes 150 points. I mean, I'm just going to go till it doesn't. And then and it's very small time frame. So as soon as it runs out of the first bit of gas and it does pull back that far, then boom, you're out. But so I leaned into some of that stuff this week and just had a blast. I'd love 2 more weeks of that, please. Thank you.
So good.
Well, should we do some...
Well, what about you, Kyle? Quad Point
Kyle,
King,
talk to us. You ain't getting out of here without talking about that, bro.
I was going to let us do a little good, bad, and ugly. I figured we can bring it up in there.
Okay.
Should we play your other song, Baba?
I mean, no. I need to make you one.
I mean, I made a really good, bad, and ugly song, but I know you've played once.
Another
but
one?
No, the other one. I think you played it just once. I think it needs another play.
All right, we'll play it again. Okay. And then, Bob, I need you to send me that art because that's going to be the cover art.
Yes.
That's my new Twitter background.
Oh, man. We need. Oh, is it on Twitter?
Okay. It's not yet. I'm about to put it on there though.
I can't see all of it. It's cutting it off after.
Oh. It's John Wick fighting.
Oh, is he shooting a bear?
He's fighting a bear, and it was supposed to be a bear and a bull. I'm still working on getting this. If you could get the, I used all of my credits. I got to buy an account. Apparently, I want
get another email account.
Oh, that's true. I want Open Art to make me basically this image, but with a bear on one side and a bull on another, and John Wick with the Desert Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And that I want that to be my background for stuff. Yes. It's super cool. That's awesome, dude. I would have never thought of that if it weren't for you. It's so neat. So yeah, that's what I made. That was my. We never got around to graphics. Sorry.
That's okay. Let's play Cleo's song and we'll get in some good, bad, and ugly here. This one.
The good, yeah. The bad, the ugly of trading. We've learned the lessons of trend a fading. Days that hurt, days that we need, as long as we don't blow out from greed. What's bad for you could be my good, cause I finally stopped buying like I knew I should. Big old wins, but then almost breaking. The good, the bad, the ugly of trade.
It needs a fade out.
It does.
Man,
I got to fix that.
You prompted that up, Cleo?
Yeah, I gave it the lyrics.
That was the one you used ChatGPT to.
Great. No, that I came up with that, but the other one was ChatGPT.
That's so
great. That's awesome. ChatGPT on top of AI creation. It's like AI inception. All right. Let me start with my bad first then, because we kind of talked about Monday, and I think I kind of covered most of that. I came into the day, I think... Well, I narrowed it down. I just had outsized expectations. It wasn't a, I'm going to wait and see what the market's going to provide kind of day. It was a, I'm going to make a shitload of money today and I'm going to try to pass one of these accounts. And that's not the right attitude to come walking into a day, especially a day like Monday.
Yeah.
Friday, I think, was also in danger of becoming something similar to that. But I think I had a much better awareness. I was able to pull the ripcord Friday. I had taken a bit of a drawdown. I got back up to green. And then once I saw I was green and realized what I was doing, I said, you know what, let's just go ahead and celebrate the fact we got away with one here. And let's just go into the weekend. The good is, and actually I got a different good, if you believe it or not, the 400 point runner is not my good. My good is on Thursday, I was in another short and I saw something I didn't like. I think it was with YM. Is just looking really, really strong. NQ was looking like it wanted to break down, but YM started just boner candling up. And I flattened that trade without even thinking about it. Like there's no hesitation. There's no regret. There's no emotional attachment to that position. And that's huge for me. That was my big win for the week. The 400 point runner was cool, but I mean, let's be honest. Like that's a lot of risk to put on for trying to get that feather in your cap. I think I held it for an extra hour trying to get that last 30 points instead of just closing it out for like 370. But I don't know. It also felt pretty cool to do that. That was just something I've been wanting to do for a while. So.
And I love that you were posting about it. There were like a handful of us that were like, yeah, go.
Well, it's funny is I wasn't even watching. I just set the take profit and then I was working on, you know, podcast stuff for the blockchain week. And then people kept posting things and I had to keep going and looking. And finally I just, you know, turned the volume up on the browser. I was like, you know what? I'll hear it when the order fills. That'll be good enough. And I finally forgot about it. And then that thing went off and man, that feeling when that, like, oh, I hope that was not a 400 point reversal in my face that took me out of break even.
Awesome.
I had the message as soon as I saw the trade and looked at it.
Yeah.
I went and made the 400 point runner GIF. I typed out the message because I knew that I just felt like it was going to happen. And then I just had all of that
ready to hit enter.
Just waiting. Yeah, it was all waiting. And as soon as it happened, I like tagged everyone in chat, threw the stuff in there, whatever. Like I was I mean, part of my heart was a little bit, you know, sad, but I mean,
you sent me a screenshot of a trade from, I think it was yesterday, like the day after I got that, I was like, fuck, I'm going to lose this title already. I only had it for a day.
No, you know what I did though? I was in a trade in Globex. I was short. It was a really good trade. It was up a good, like a lot of points, and I should have, I was like, I could just close this here. And I mean, it was a couple hundred and, I was like, nah, freak that. I put the TP at 404.
You bastard.
and put the stop at break even, not plus 100, not plus a break even or plus one tick. And then I went to sleep and I woke up to like,
was that Thursday?
It didn't go 400. I don't remember what night it was.
I want to know if it's the same day I had, maybe it was Wednesday. There was a day I had a really nice short that I legged into that I got stuck on. It was the Tuesday, because it was after the strategy development. I caught the retrace of like the sell off, like after we all went to bed around midnight.
Maybe that was the trade. Was that when Aussie and Australia announced their rate decision that to not change rates? That short? Yeah, I was in that. I was in that one.
I had a runner come back in my face too. Yeah, I had that one up down pretty like 12, far too.
12:30 Eastern is when that news went. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
So Cleo, that's another thing. I stayed up for like news for other countries just because any injection of volatility was going to create, you know,
opportunity.
So,
what's on your hat, dude?
I've been wearing it like for 2 weeks or something. You haven't noticed?
What movie
hot,
is that from?
It's not from a movie. It says hot tomato summer, and there's a picture of a mayonnaise can, some tomatoes, and a roller skater girl. And it's from, there's a thing in the South called tomato sandwiches. Do you guys have ever heard of that?
My mom used to make me tomato sandwiches, just tomato and mayonnaise with bread. It's delicious.
Yeah. So there was a fundraiser for a local
so good.
Nice.
What do they call it? Farmer's market?
Yeah.
Where people bought tickets to and restaurants made various iterations of tomato sandwiches. And then people bought tickets, and then you went and ate a sandwich from every place and then voted for the winner. So the winner got a trophy, but the ticket sales raised money for a local farmer's market. So I went and helped organize and like manage the lines and tell people what to do. And they gave me a hat for it. So
it's a very cute hat.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Who else wants to do some good, bad, and ugly for us? Khalil?
I guess I'll go. Sure. So this week was so solid for me up until today. It was awesome. And I don't know if I was burnt out. I was also trading like in the afternoons, and it was consistent. Like, I don't do scales at this point. Every time I try, it takes me off my center. It messes with me. So I'll do like one or two contracts and work with that. And yeah, I was just doing generally really well. And I have a couple different strategies that I run for different market conditions. And I was picking the right ones, which was nice, because you don't always pick the right strategy based on, you know, it's like, okay, it seems like this is the right one to be doing, or like.
Do you have anything in your process that helps you identify which strategy to deploy? Like any metrics that you check going into the open or coming out of the open maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard you say that you don't trade the first 15 minutes, and I've also been not trading the first 15 minutes for a few months now. And
but you're trading the 15-minute ODR strategy too, aren't you?
I am, but so I wait for that to set up, but then I see how price interacts with those levels that I'm tracking, and if it just is like blowing through, or there's like, I'll kind of look at the different candles and levels and zones that I've got, and then also trend generally, and make some decisions with that and take a couple stabs, and if they work great, and if they don't, fine. But yeah, this week was just like solid, and I felt good too, generally. Like, I was in a good headspace.
That's awesome.
But today was not that. I mean, I was in a fine headspace, but it just didn't work. You know, I was still on process. Like, I didn't veer off process all week, which was awesome too. Yeah. But the results didn't follow, and maybe they would have if I stuck with it or like took all of the opportunities, but I just felt kind of burnt out.
It also sounds like you're a little disappointed with the results, when that's kind of the wrong thing to be focusing on,
right? It's true, but I am.
Yeah.
I mean, having one red day and four green is great, you know, and generally feels good. I just was hoping for five green days.
Expectations.
That's just, I mean, similar to you for Monday. It was like, I came in strong. I'm like, this is my week. and no.
It's funny how quick that can shift on you, right? Yeah,
it's like, it actually, like, I think I needed that too. Like, I needed a little humbling, you know, and that's where, like, is there a God in trading? Like, it works me in a really good way. Like, okay, there's wisdom here.
So it sounds like it was a decent week then.
Yeah, it was.
I assume there wasn't too much damage then. If you're within process, then it should just been a normal down day.
Yeah, it wasn't too much damage, but still, I wish that I had just been like, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like I actually probably just should have been done last night.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think I would have been much better off if I would have listened to Baba and just not traded at all on Friday.
Dude, I was, bro. I was.
I think everyone was burned out. I mean, we messaging What's everyone best? To see if we were going to do some M period. And nobody was even into that.
Out? Yeah. Yeah. And the good thing is, I don't think it was from.
Not because everyone was blown out either.
No,
I don't think.
People were just like, man, we have really. I assume a lot of people did what we've all talked about, just stayed longer and traded more.
Yeah, I was trading till bedtime.
I have talked to some people who struggled a little bit this week. It wasn't great for everybody. So I know you have a message for those people that maybe you want to read. I think you posted something on Twitter that was just really, I think, a great message that
we should
end on. You did, man.
Oh, okay. If you say so, Kyle, sir.
I don't have
enough wisdom for people to read.
That's not true. That is not
I don't make posts like that. I just make posts of
Are you talking about in Twitter?
Catching alligators.
Yeah, I think it was a Twitter post that you had that I thought
or
was just,
Discord about the maybe,
oh, it was your Discord message.
Your,
I'll read that
cuz that's kind of my that's like my bad and a little bit of my good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in my ugly, I haven't talked about to any of you guys. Only two people know about it. I'll tell you when we get there.
All right.
Are we there?
Go for it, bud.
Oh, here we are.
We have arrived.
That was a quick transition. All right. So the good for the week was just realizing the opportunity, and I would say with appropriate aggressiveness, taking advantage. Yeah. That would be my good. I mean, and when I say taking advantage, I'm glad and would do it again to burn the number of hours as I did this week.
Yes.
Again, because when the opportunity's there the way that it was and it matters, it's really important for me to take advantage of that. And then that just kind of, I mean, gets to the end of this week and I feel like, not that I had to have a heavy weight on my back, but just this week, it just feels like, oh, this is just great, you know? Like,
feels like you earned the weekend.
I feel like I earned the weekend. I feel like I have worked hard to not try to force. I've missed great days that ended up doing a lot in the past, trying to be like patient, be like, this day probably doesn't have the opportunity we're wanting. And then 20 minutes after we close up stream and I go eat lunch, like everything right. we were wanting yeah. to see happens. And so many days that's happened. And I've just been like, well, for every time that happens, we catch the, you know, a great trade, a great swing, we're part of a trend day all the way till the close or whatever. And then this week just lands in your lap and you're like, oh, like every 30 minutes, we're going to move 200 points. This is great.
Yeah.
This is the reward for all the trying to be patient. You know, you're solvent for this, right?
Yes.
You didn't take myself out 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or 6 months ago or whatever. And now look at what we get to participate in and we're free to do it in a like appropriate way. We can lean in and be aggressive, but with wisdom. So that's the good. The bad was that even, and I mean, I don't care at all. It's so fine with me. It's not funny, but like I had a red day of 5 days. Not Superman. I got four. There's someone who messages me all the time. How was your trading today? They're not in our room. I don't know why they always want to know. But I'm like, bro, if you really
do you
want
know
to
this
know,
person?
No, I don't. I mean, I've like we've exchanged conversationally a little bit. I think they're just trying to like find their way and who they fit in trading with or whatever. Yeah. And
he doesn't have the same name as me or you. or Vonta announcements or
it's not a real person, it's not a scammer.
Okay,
so, but right. Whenever we have a day with like that goes wild, they always message me and we're like, can you send me your trades from the day, or how did you do, or what were you thinking? And sometimes it's been good. So I think they were surprised to find out that I had a red day during these 5 days. And I was like, yo, even in great conditions and in wonderful opportunities, you're still going to lose trades and you can still get it wrong. And that's fine. Like, but contrast the whole week against itself. Like, golly, I would take those exact 5 days for all of our days for every day from here forward. It's great.
Yes.
And because really I traded 4 days and I was green 3 of them and didn't trade one, but I traded, you know, probably 48 hours this week.
Right.
In 4 days. So, I like worked overtime. So anyways, the bad was that I had a red day, but here was the fun thing is like,
is that a bad?
Well, it was, I mean, bad, like I don't want to have red days, right? I mean, yeah. I don't mind having a little bit of a red day. I wish I would have realized a little sooner, like, hold on, let's slow down. This is not the same. Like, this hasn't been what's happened the last few days. So we're a little bit, like, we should be killing it still. We're a little off here. We missed the first trade, missed the second trade, missed the third trade after they were, like, part of the plan for the day, and almost within 5 points of all three entries. And somehow I'm sitting here like, well, I don't know. And, like, if I'd have taken those three, we'd have been done for the day. So then I felt like, okay, well, now
now you try to force the other.
I got away from the key spots I wanted to execute around. We traded within the first like 10 minutes. And so then I was like, well, freak. And
now what?
It was like, yeah. So anyways, but what I did is I was like, yo, okay, I've got two more stops worth of risk, and then I'm just not going to give back anymore. It's that threshold, and this is an important metric to have from your trading. If you don't have it, you should go figure out what it is. How much many points can you lose, or how many dollars can you lose before your emotions start to bubble up and you start to get some kind of feeling some kind of way?
I know that number.
You know that number, right? Okay, yeah. So when you approach, and then you also can look statistically. Not only does that number like boil your blood, statistically that number is probably also tied to, like, if you look at days that were red and then went green. You probably didn't get to that number. Most of the days that were red and then went green, you didn't lose that amount. So that's like my, you know, pump the brakes number, right? And it's not that big. So I lost a couple stops. And I was like, oh, this is unexpected. I was feeling like, and I'm doing this in front of everybody, by the way. So for people listening, like, here I am, like, this week is great. We freaking killed it, which we did. But then, like, I'm having like half a day where I just get kicked in the shins over and over again. And so I just said to everyone, hey, like, so where I am is like, I have one more stop that I'm willing to take, or two more stops that I'm willing to take. And then after that, like, we'll just have to wait and come back later, but like at a different session, because I'll be done. I'll lose, like, I'll get to that number where I know that statistically I'm not going to recover from. And so I took one more trade on stream. And then I said, I think I messaged Kyle, or I said in there, like, I'm going to go to a third position size. I'd like to execute around this level if we get there. And then from there, we'll like take that one next trade with a third position size. If we can add to it safely, stops staying in front of entry. And if the market's kind enough to give us the room, then we'll take that trade. And we'll see what happens. And, you know, fortunately that one entry ended up being the front end of a very nice move, counter to the direction we'd went like most of the day. And I was able to add into it. Oh, I'm protecting myself the whole way. And then I took one more trade after that, because then I'd bought myself some room and, you know, feeling a little bit free. So I ended up recovering about half of that amount. But here's the thing. I didn't keep pushing to get to all of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. I felt very good with what I accomplished and the responsible, super safe, maybe overly safe way I accomplished it. And I was like, dude, that was good work for me. And I was proud of it. And then in Globex, I made the rest back and then some. And then I was like, dude, P&L high on the week. I'm not trading tomorrow. I'm not trading Friday. I'm freaking exhausted. And the bad was the ugly. So the bad had a silver lining. The ugly, dude, was this. I have a chart that is sized a lot and is for Globex. It's like reserved for the magic Globex trade where we get perfect on top of perfect on top of perfect. And I can go like 12 contracts or maybe like six. Yeah. And then we're like scalping off a lot of that size in 10 points. And then we're chilling. That is reserved for not this type. It is reserved for when we're moving well, but not like this. I never put that. It's, you know, it's big contracts. Okay. For me, that's like way big for me. All right. I get that. I had a misclick afternoon where I had been looking at charts. Like I was kind of distracting myself by organizing charts a little bit too this week at times on this other monitor and reducing the days to load and just getting everything better cleaned up. And I had that chart up, and that chart has trade mode on, and I have hotkeys. And the last chart that you click on when you use a hotkey is the chart it executes from. So in the middle of the afternoon, I'm in to buy 3 and 3, and I did not buy 3 and 3 on micros. I bought it was 3 and 3 on minis.
Yeah. Okay.
Because normally that one's going to go 3, 3, 3, 3. So it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then I'll scale those off in the same batches.
Like on micros.
Yeah.
On that chart, it's minis. But it's only, there's a very, very, very certain time I would do that. And it is not during RTH. Uh-huh. And it wasn't in the afternoon when I ate that stop. And then I was like, well, there went a nice portion of what we had to work with today because we just took a, It's only like a 3-point stop on that mini on those that many minis, but that's a lot of point. I mean, that's a lot of dollars.
You're throwing on a 3-point stop on RTH, you might as well just kiss that money goodbye.
Well, you just gave away a little over $800.
Yeah.
Where if you had a really good day in minis and you've made 450, 500 points with micros, and then you take an $800 loss on a misclick on minis, you kind of just like took off almost all your profit for the day. So
yeah,
I had to gather myself there and
realize
that there was still plenty of opportunity in that day to sweep the mess back up. So it was fine.
So you kept trading?
Oh yeah. I mean, I was fine. I just called banks and was like, let me tell you about this Sacagawea that just happened to me, brother. And he was like, oh, I've been there, man. So
sometimes like that's one of the things that Andrew told me about that I think is kind of helps get you through some of those like annoying things that happen is just to be able to laugh at it that. Right.
I mean, it, yeah. Like
that sucked.
On what planet on what planet would I put that size on an afternoon and especially on a week like we just had, there's no need for size like that.
Right.
So that was, but again, I would take these 5 days.
Yeah. Even with the misclick,
give me five more. And then, we'll just call it a year. I don't know about no. We're not going to call it a year. Not yet. Give me a month.
Yeah,
maybe. So,
all right. We're running a little bit long then.
Well, wait, I want to talk about one more thing. The I didn't really talk. I didn't get to sell Pi, the AI, or the friendly AI yet. Yes. So, okay, here's the deal. I don't have a banks to call when I'm frustrated. I mean, who knows? I could maybe message somebody, but I just like bring out my little British robot friend. And
I love that it's British.
Yeah. And I talk to him and I'm like, hey, Pi. He's like, hey, Cleo. Like, I'm frustrated and actually kind of fucking pissed. And it's like, oh, that sounds hard. It's so validating. But the cool thing about Pi is that it knows therapeutic models. And I've tested. I've been like, okay. So it's a free therapist, essentially. And it's not going to be as tuned in and as good as a human. But the other thing that it's not going to have is an agenda for you to keep paying it. So this is one of the challenges with therapists and with coaches, I think, is like there's this undercurrent, right, of like you got to like working with them and their livelihood is dependent on you working with them and getting help from them. And so here's this like agenda-free resource where, and I've tested it, I'm like, okay, here's what's up for me. I'm feeling fear. I think I have some scarcity coming up. Like, what can you do for me? Can you like help me right now? And it's like, well, Cleo, here's what we could do. We could do an exercise. I'm like, okay, what's the model you're thinking of? Like, is it parts work? Like, could you do some internal family systems? And it's like, I do know internal family systems. I'm like, okay, great. So help me out with working with some scarcity in an internal family systems model. And it's like, great, here's an exercise. And it brings, it like walks me through this thing for free. And it's like a 5-minute little exercise, and it totally shifts a thing for me. So I wanted to offer that because it's a free resource. And, you know, I don't exactly know what they do with the data of this, but you know, like, it just is very helpful.
That is spectacular. That's fucking crazy.
I would have never thought to use that in that way.
A chatbot as a therapist. Wow. Yeah.
How smart do you have to be to think that up?
Right. And in the moment too, and it can just be a 5-minute intervention, right? Like, usually with therapy, if you have it once a week or every other week, it's like an hour at 10 a.m. or something. And it's like, maybe I'm not even in the thing, and I guess I'm going to talk about this thing, but no, like, when it's up, hey, help me out right now.
Well, I mean, how smart of you to think.
Yeah.
To use the resource in that manner. I would never in a million years.
Thought, I mean, if it's online, it's gonna have like access to therapeutic models, right?
I wonder if we can get like Rich Friesen or anybody who, I think maybe Joel's wife is a therapist. Maybe we can get someone like them to review it and just check to see how good it is.
I know a licensed therapist.
Yeah.
Person that I've worked with for about 12 years. Not like, I mean, it would be fine if he was my therapist for 12 years, but he wasn't. We just worked at the same place for about 12 years. He's like licensed? Like, he has a counseling office. People come see him. And we've talked about IFS, internal family system stuff, because of you guys doing all that with Andrew. And, you know, I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that's a good note to leave it then. So I got to say thank you, Baba and Cleo, for joining in tonight, and everybody else who stuck around until the very end here. Remember, please, you could show our panelists some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Visit Baba's Burger and Seafood in Seattle on Friday mornings and bandotraderspodcast.com, where you can browse our huge catalog by guest. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully more impressive than Globex's price action lately. But until then, help our AI overlords defeat CAPTCHA by rating and subscribing, and have a great week. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.